This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, happy Wednesday morning to you. Glad you're with us today. And wow, what a night, man. How about those Blues, right, Carl Middleman?
That was fun.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was not fun until less than a minute in the game, but yes.
Exactly. Ten in a row now, and the timing couldn't be more perfect. At least we got some sort of victory last night. We didn't get it up in Wisconsin, which is kind of what everybody was looking at and kind of hoping for. But that's a weird situation. As you hear about that this morning, don't walk away with the mainstream media view that this was some sort of a loss for Donald Trump. Wisconsin is a weird state. It's just a weird state. So they have this big race up there in the Supreme Court where they elect their judges. They have a 4-3 liberal majority. They were trying to maintain that because they want to challenge congressional seats. And they did. They managed to maintain it for whatever reason. But in the same election, they passed voter ID. They made it a constitutional requirement that you have to prove who you are to vote.
Most sane people, though, even some people on the left, can get on board with that.
Yeah, but there were 135,000 more votes for the constitutional amendment on voter ID than there was in the judge race. 135,000 people voted for constitutional ID, and they opted not to vote in the Supreme Court race. I don't get that. That's like some of the problems we had here in the Missouri vote back in November, where they overwhelmingly vote for Donald Trump and then they approve abortion up until birth. I don't know who those people are.
But some of it's just a lack of attention to what's going on. People aren't educated on who the candidates are, and so they don't even feel comfortable voting. I truly believe that, because I refuse to believe that these people who decided to vote on that versus the actual judges were just people who couldn't make up their mind on which person they wanted, even though they'd researched both of them.
Yeah,
if you've taken the time to look into them, you know who you want.
Well, but even if you're politically aware enough to want to go vote on the constitutional voter ID bill, how could you have ignored the most expensive Supreme Court race in United States history? Tens of millions of dollars were poured into that race to try to win it one way or the other. And yet you ignored that, but you just turned out to vote for the other thing. I don't get that. Regardless, we won't find out until next year the impact of this. The libs are already challenging congressional districts in Wisconsin. The 4-3 majority is likely to let them redraw those districts. And if indeed that happens, then that's where the problem comes in here. But regardless, those are a couple of the things that happened yesterday. Today is Liberation Day, they're calling it, and we still don't know the details. We still don't know for sure what Donald Trump is going to levy in terms of tariffs today. We're still waiting to hear that. I'm really surprised. I came in this morning expecting to find an email from the comms department just kind of spelling out what the new tariff rules were going to be, but it's not there.
3:00 Central.
Yeah. So right there, waiting for the middle of the Annie Fry show today, right at the end of it, before they're going to announce this. Good for Reardon. He's going to have lots to talk about.
Well, they want to be able to say it versus sending it in an email.
I guess.
Don't you think?
Normally these things leak, though, don't they?
I guess.
That Susie Wiles must run a tight ship. Can I just tell
it
you that?
It seems like she would run
a tight
ship. She comes off like this sweet woman who would bake bread and make you homemade jam, but she also, I could see her being very tough.
You know, she's Pat Summerall's daughter, the broadcaster. I'd forgotten about that. I remember knowing it during the campaign, and then I kind of forgot about it. I saw Laura Trump interview her the other night, which it was a great interview, but she sort of prefers to remain behind the scenes, and she's a little bit of a ball buster, apparently. But nobody wants to cross her, which is exactly what Trump needed in that position. He did. If she can avoid trouble before it gets to him, that makes everything run more smoothly. That's what they got going on up there. Glad you're with us. We got lots to get to today. I had a shocking revelation to me yesterday regarding something that Joe Biden signed right before he left office. And for some reason, this thing has flown under my radar until yesterday. I don't know how that happened. But we're going to talk about it this morning because, first of all, a couple of shocking developments. Well, maybe they weren't too shocking when you think of it in the broader sense of government service and public relations. I'll get to that for you coming up a little later. But it's information you need to know because it might benefit somebody that you know. And I'm going to talk about that a little later this morning. There has been, as you hear Kim reporting, there's been a Missouri Ethics Commission report and complaint filed against Sam Page, who the complaint alleges is spending public money to fight Prop B. In fact, I've got the mailer that he sent out. It's got his name at the bottom of it. And apparently used public funds, this alleges, to fight against this proposition, which would strip the king of some of his power. I shouldn't call him a king. The county executive of some of his power. But we all know that's not a power the council's going to use very often because they're not all on the same page. Pardon the pun. So we'll get to that later. We got Mark Harder, who's going to join us to kind of explain what happened with that yesterday. And we're also going to talk to Taylor Riggs, host of the Big Money Show on Fox, who can talk more about maybe they've got some whispers on what some of these tariffs are going to be and what they're going to do. We'll get to all that for you. Carl, what are our top stories this morning?
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Well, it's a very disappointing result on the floor there. A handful of Republicans joined with all the Democrats to take down a rule that's rarely done. It's very unfortunate in this case.
Yeah, Mike Johnson there talking about this rule. Like Anna Paulina Luna left the Freedom Caucus yesterday so mad that Republicans were opposed to a Nancy Pelosi-era rule that you could vote by proxy. So Mike Johnson's shutting everything down, and he's going to re-vote on this again, I don't know, maybe later this week.
Judge can rule on the Alien Enemies Act, and we can hold on that, but we'll continue to arrest members of TDA and MS-13 and every other criminal alien that we can find.
Tom Homan, thank you. All this complaint about, oh my gosh, they wrongly deported some father from like New Jersey. You know what? Have you seen this guy's record? You're not going to believe it.
My voice is inadequate. My efforts today are inadequate to stop what they're trying to do. But we, the people, are powerful. We are strong.
The brain surgeon, Cory Booker, spoke for 20 hours yesterday, not trying to block any particular piece of legislation, just because he has Trump derangement syndrome.
I'm your huckleberry.
Yeah, there you have it. I got to mention this off the top of the show this morning, the death overnight of Val Kilmer. Wow. I heard everybody playing the Maverick music this morning when it was announced on the way in from Iceman and Top Gun and all that good stuff. I personally, Carl Middleman, as the movie critic in the room,
yeah,
as the film reviewer, I loved him in Tombstone probably better than any other role he played. That, to me, that was his most memorable role.
I liked him in Top Secret.
Okay.
That was the parody of spy films where he was doing surfing while skeeting. Skeet shooting while surfing.
Wasn't that one of his first movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have been his first movie. Yeah, Top Secret. And then since it was a parody of like spy movies, they had him sing, and he was doing Skeech Surfing USA.
Well, he could clearly sing because he was Jim Morrison in the Doors movie. Just very sad. I mean, I watched he did a documentary.
Val.
And if you didn't watch it, you need to. If you are a child of the 80s, if your formative years were in the 1980s, if those were your teenage years, 80s or early 90s, you need to watch that, because today everything is documented, and with cell phones and clips on Instagram and all this stuff. In the 1980s, that wasn't the case. Val Kilmer walked around with a video recorder and recorded every movie scene he was on, and he would go to parties and record people with his video recorder, and all that stuff is gold now. Like, he's got the earliest days of his career, and the people that were in the Brat Pack, and all these people were surrounding him, and he's got all of them on video from an early age. They put this together in a documentary about a year and a half or 2 years ago, and it's great. You've got to watch it. Maybe in honor of Val over the weekend, look it up.
That's the name of it, Val.
Val. Yeah, it's a good one. All right, Carl, who's got this morning's national anthem?
Last week we had a choice between somebody else and Diana Ross. And I think we chose incorrectly.
Okay.
So we're going to do Diana Ross today.
And he's going to win. We're projecting a win for him. But, Dana, it's not a 35-point win that it should be in ruby red Panhandle, Florida.
You're exactly right. And it is the whole question of the margins, Jake. That is what Democrats have been looking at all night.
This is how bad it is for the Democrats. It's CNN, they did an entire segment with Jake Tapper and Dana Bash celebrating the fact that in the two congressional races in Florida, that Republicans won by 13 and I think 18%, I think, were the finals, and that they didn't win them by bigger margins. That's what they were celebrating last night.
Well, it's all about the margins. This is what Democrats are watching.
You lost by 14 points in a special election in an off year with moderate turnout. You still got your butt handed to you, despite the one guy that was challenging for Mike Waltz's old seat. The Democrat outraised his Republican opponent like 10-1 and still lost by 15 points. It was a butt whipping in Florida yesterday, but that's the way CNN explains the story this morning.
That's not surprising at all.
I know, but I still have to play it because we observe these things, and we continue to be shocked every day, for sure. We continue to be shocked. I do want to mention yesterday we had the opportunity, myself along with Grillmaster Tony, grillmastertony.com, Tony Stone, the chef, to go deliver food to our first responders. We do this every month. This was for the month of March. We didn't get there till early April. I apologize. We couldn't do it last Friday, so we had to go yesterday. And man alive, I love what people are doing here, because we want you to nominate your favorite first responder for a variety of reasons, right? It can be a family member. It can be a friend. It can be somebody who responded to your emergency and you loved the way that they reacted. Listen to this. Yesterday, we went down in Fenton and we honored firefighter and EMT Cindy Hake. This is what her brother-in-law wrote about her. Cindy is one of the bravest, strongest, most exceptional people in my life. She got certified as a paramedic, attended the fire academy, became a firefighter. In addition to her amazing career, she's the mother of 2-year-old twins. How she's able to balance her career being a full-time mom to young twins is nothing short of amazing. And he even praised her husband and said that they worked tirelessly to keep the St. Louis community safe. So those are the kinds of nominations we're getting here. You can go to 971talk.com/contests and you can enter and nominate your own favorite first responder. But it was a pleasure. She was completely surprised. Aww. Normally we call and tell them we're coming. Somebody forgot to tell them, not on our end, but somebody on their end forgot to call the station and say, hey, 971 stopping by. So it was a complete surprise to her.
Well, that'd that be we kind showed of fun up with a box of food. If that were the case in general, if the higher ups knew, but the actual person being honored didn't know.
Yeah.
Did you read her what her brother-in-law said?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
She almost came to tears yesterday.
I bet. It was really nice.
It was very touching, and yeah, you're right, and you know, we just need to make sure they're there. so we always try
key.
To plan. Exactly. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Kim on a whim.
Something as a mom will have to navigate as my son gets older and as this baby gets older too is, where is the line on letting them be free, letting them take responsibility and build confidence? Because back in the day, kids were allowed to go to the store on their own. They were allowed to do a lot of things that nowadays parents would cringe at, thinking that that would be okay for their child under 10 years old to do. And that is why there's a video that's gone viral. More than 12 million people have watched this video of this really adorable little boy named Wells. Wells is 7 years old, and his mom, who lives in Utah, she had been reading this book called The Anxious Generation, which I guess was a best-selling 2024 book, talking about just that, where we've been so consumed with social media, screens, and it's taken a toll on everyone's mental health. And it just talks about how parents become these helicopter parents, and we don't let kids just be free and learn to have responsibility and all of these things. And so what the book has done is it's challenged people to do just that, to loosen the rope a little bit. So this Utah mom, Stephanie Reed, does that, and she posts this video of her 7-year-old son, Wells, walking into Chick-fil-A. She asked all 5 of her kids, you know, hey, what age-appropriate activity do you want to do to kind of build some confidence and take responsibility, that kind of thing. And her little 7-year-old decided he wanted to go in and order food at Chick-fil-A on his own. So she sends him in, gives him money, doesn't have a phone on him, doesn't have anything else except just the cash in his hand. And he goes in, and I want to play what happens when this little boy, Wells, comes out.
Oh my gosh, he did it! Hey!
I didn't have to ask the manager or anything.
Really?
He just gave it to me, yeah.
They just served you?
Yeah. And then, yeah.
You got your Happy Meal, and
he gave me some money back. I want to do that again.
Really?
Yeah, that is so fun.
Do you feel like that built confidence?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, a little nervous?
Yeah. Like, my legs are still shivering.
Really?
But, yeah, that was so fun.
Isn't that so cute? My legs are still shivering.
He gave me money back, Mom.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a Happy Meal, by the way, if it was a Chick-fil-A.
By the way, he did decide to upgrade her drink to a large.
Who did?
The little boy.
Oh,
the son,
really?
The son told his mom he upgraded her drink.
He was ordering for everybody?
Well, I think maybe for him and his mom.
Oh.
I mean, he had one of those drink carriers, and he's carrying the bag of food with the drink carrier and the change.
Okay.
I just think this is cool because you read these studies that talk about how if you give kids age-appropriate risks, that really is critical to them developing confidence and resilience. And that if you're just constantly, you know, trying to be so protective of them, that really can do more harm.
I know. And I'm glad to see people do it. I mean, that's still a pretty sheltered way of doing something. His mom's sitting outside, watches him walk in the door, watches him walk back out. It's not like you'd let him
go in.
Walk a mile away to go to the Chick-fil-A on his own and then walk all the way back.
She was very anxious to even... She wanted to go in with
him. Oh, I'm sure.
Well, but not having a phone or anything, because nowadays we're so used to being able to get a hold of anybody at the drop of a hat.
But the real difference is, like, so I have this specific memory growing up. At the first house we lived in, so I lived there from the time, I guess, from the time I was born until, or very shortly after I was born, until I was about seven, maybe. Because I started kindergarten in first grade when we lived in that house. And then we lived there for about another year before we moved. And I can specifically remember at age six or seven getting on my bike with my buddies and riding all around this huge subdivision for hours at a time, completely out of the sight of mom and dad. And people would never allow that to happen today, ever.
Oh, absolutely not.
So that right there was something that it was either really stupid on the part of our parents, or they knew something. The way they grew up was very different than the way we grew up.
Well,
I think that's
what you have to wonder, because you hear all these stories in the news about people, you know, abducting kids, and obviously that does happen. But I think you're a lot more likely to be approached by a predator online these days than you are actually if you're just out in the street or walking to the store on your own. But when you see all these news stories and they're so readily available to us, it gives us this false feeling of, I can't even leave my house or let my child leave our house without them being at risk of being abducted.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary. And, you know, the challenge, too, for parents is, when do I allow my kid to have a cell phone? And I think a lot of parents are deciding to give their kids cell phones, not smartphones, but some basic type of cell phone where they can at least get a hold of them or text them, because they're worried that they want to be able to get a hold of them and make sure they got to their destination safely. It wasn't like even when I was a kid where you'd go to your friend's house, you'd be gone all day and you would call them on your home, the home phone line, and say, Mom, I'm here. That was it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, okay, let me just shoot a really quick text.
It's just a different level. And I don't know was it awareness? I mean, I've had this conversation with my wife before. Was it just awareness? Were we just less aware of the pedophiles and the criminals when I was little? Is it just media coverage has blown it out of proportion? Is there statistically a lot more of it these days than there was back then, and it just wasn't reported as much? People didn't get the media coverage. I mean, I can remember kids falling into wells and kids missing, and I can remember stories like that over the past 40 years. But I just don't remember that being the concern when you left the house, is that you were going to get hurt, not that somebody was going to abduct you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think, Carl?
I think once Adam Walsh disappeared, then it became a national story.
That's a good timeline, pinpoint.
So when was that?
In the 80s, and then John Walsh started America's Most Wanted because of what happened to his son.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a couple of big national stories like that that get around, and that will scare a lot of people. Fear is the biggest driver. Look what happened with COVID.
Right. He didn't want anybody, and he didn't want that to happen to anyone else after what happened to his son. So
he was abducted?
And killed.
Yes. And killed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really drew a lot of attention to it. And I'd kind of forgotten about that, but you're right. I mean, maybe that's when it became more of a thing, more concern. Nobody as a parent could imagine going through what Walsh went through. And then you become suddenly a lot more of a helicopter parent,
mm-hmm.
a lot more protective.
Well, and I think the key here, if you're trying to do this sort of a challenge that a lot of people are now doing, I guess because of this book, is picking an age-appropriate task. Because there are some things that just would not be okay for your child at a particular age to be doing. Like if Easton was 10 years old, like me sitting in the car and hey, I'm with the baby, can you go take him, can you go get a couple things in the store for me, like go get some milk and go get a loaf of bread or something like that. That to me is one thing versus asking my 5-year-old, you know, if Easton were 5, to go walk down the street and do something. That just feels different to me. Maybe not back then, but now it does.
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were talking about a place in our neighborhood that is no longer there. And he said, oh, my dad sent me down there to buy cigarettes for him.
Well, you wouldn't see that today. Maybe you would see that today, and we just don't hear about it.
Well, and chances are the guy working at the store knew his dad.
Probably.
And he walked in and said, my dad needs some cigarettes, so the guy gave them to him because he knew the kid wasn't going around back and smoking them.
$2.50.
Yeah.
That's probably the difference, too. There were a lot more local stores where you could walk. And
it was Velvet Freeze.
You knew the people. You knew the families. It's not like where it's a revolving door at your local Target that's huge.
Here, son, pick me up a 32-ounce while you're down there, too.
Yeah. Can you give me a handle of vodka, please, while you're there? Not that they could get that with the
different
the age, but yeah, I mean, things have definitely shifted, to say the least.
I don't think Velvet Freeze sold liquor. but they did sell cigarettes, and they had video games.
How would they even allow a kid, I guess because they knew the kid was buying them for their dad?
I would imagine.
A six-year-old's not buying smokes for themselves.
You know what, Carl? Probably. Some kids start very young.
Very.
Very.
Very young.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, coming up here at the top of the hour, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about what I discovered yesterday. It, sort of accidentally, and it's potentially a huge, could have a huge impact on somebody you know. I'm going to get to that for you when we come back here in just a minute.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore-chapped nipples.
Just a truth of life there for you this morning on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I have to tell you, Kim St. Ange, that bite is true 99.9% of the time, but I found out something yesterday that might end up benefiting my mom. I don't know if it will or not. Have you heard of this Social Security Fairness Act?
I don't think I have.
So this is something Joe Biden signed as he was leaving, or his auto pen signed as he was leaving office. And it's now in effect. And basically what I discovered yesterday, my mom's friends are all retired teachers. And a couple of them have gotten $6,000 or $7,000 checks from the Social Security Administration because of this law, this change in the law. And basically, what it does is it did away with the windfall elimination provision that was passed back in the early 90s, I think, is when they put this in effect. And the point of it was is that if you were a teacher, for example, because it could affect some public service employees too, but it depends on your situation. That's why I can't tell you today, yes, you qualify, yes, you don't. The situation varies, but let's say, for example, somebody worked as a teacher for 25 years and retired. For those 25 years, they did not pay into Social Security. They paid into their teacher's pension. Now, before they became teachers, they may have worked at several jobs before becoming a teacher, at which point they were paying into Social Security. But the windfall elimination provision was put in effect so that people couldn't double dip. Like, you couldn't draw a teacher's pension and also draw Social Security because you didn't pay into it for 30 years. And a lot of people felt screwed over that because they had put in their 20 quarters to qualify for Social Security, but because they were drawing a public pension, they didn't. This eliminated them from being able to draw that. So now they've gone back and changed that. This Social Security Fairness Act that was passed in January or signed in January, early January, before Biden left office, is in effect now. So I had to call Social Security yesterday to try to figure out if my mom is going to qualify for this, because she's hot. She's hot on this one. She's like, I've got friends that are getting checks for $5,000 or $6,000. You need to call and see if I can get my check. She's never received Social Security. She's never been eligible for it. So I call Social Security. Took them 3 hours to call me back. Finally get them on the phone, and they won't give me any information.
What's their reasoning?
So I get mom on the phone with them because they have to talk to the person, right? And I can understand that for security reasons. I get my mom on the phone. She gives them her date of birth. She gives her Social Security number. And she gives them her current address. They're like, I'm sorry, ma'am. That address doesn't match the one we have in the system. So I interject. And I'm like, well, how are we supposed to know what address you have in the system? She's never drawn Social Security. You could have an address that's 35, 40, 50 years old. We have no way of knowing that. So then I start spinning out some addresses to mom, and the woman says, oh, you can't tell her what to say. She has to tell me. I'm like, I'm sorry, my mom's 90. Sometimes she doesn't know what she had for lunch yesterday. She doesn't remember her address from 50 years ago. So now I've got to drag her to a Social Security office, and I had to wait a month to get an appointment order for them to confirm her address before they will tell her whether or not she might qualify for a check from this Social Security Fairness Act. So my advice to you, the short and simple, would be it doesn't apply to everyone. You had to have participated in Social Security at some point. You had to pay into it at some point to get a check now.
Like, if you never worked outside of a public pension situation, you might not qualify. But it's worth a phone call, I would say, because you might end up getting a check for $6,000 or $8,000 or $10,000. You'll owe taxes on that next year. Don't the government's still going to, you know, make you have sore chap nipples. You'll still owe taxes on the on whatever they give you, but you might get a check for $8,000 or $10,000.
Well, teachers have side jobs, like Cynthia's saying on Facebook.
Right,
so
right.
That money should be eligible for that.
It might be. So if you were a teacher or some sort of public service employee, that may be worth looking into. Ask your accountant or try to call a Social Security and see if you qualify. And best of luck to you. Took me 3.5 hours to get a hold of him yesterday. All right, coming up, we'll talk more about the tariffs, Liberation Day. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.